Listener Production.
Hi, I'm Nat Kringoutis and welcome to The Wellness Collective, the podcast dedicated to helping women feel happier, healthier and better. I'm a natural women's health expert with over 17 years experience and I'm passionate about helping women feel great in their bodies and minds. On this podcast, I cut through all the noise in the wellness space by interviewing experts from around the globe to discover the very best ideas and theories that will help you improve every aspect of your health. Hi, friends. I went down a rabbit hole recently. Well, it wasn't recently, actually. It's been maybe over a year. Yeah, well over a year, actually. But I, like so many of you, went through a phase where my hair started falling out. And I think this, and I'm going to discuss some of the reasons why this might happen, but I think there's a lot of people, they've experienced a recent bout of shedding. And it's normal to have some level of hair loss on the regular, but it's really not normal to lose more than approximately 100 hairs a day. Now, I don't know who's sitting there and counting that. I sure as heck aren't. But I can tell you some things that I noticed, and I can also tell you some things that you can do if you either are shedding, have been through a period of shedding, or just don't have great quality hair in the first place. And so, yes, I went down this rabbit hole because personally, well, I'd have had many patients that have been challenged with hair, and going through the process of that and helping them to regrow their hair was one thing. And then when it also happened personally, and it's not the first time it's happened, then I was, you know, even more curious as to what else can I add to my awareness around hair loss. So, you know, it can affect everybody differently and it can look different for everybody as well. We can lose patches of hair. We can lose hair all over the head. We can have fine hair. It's not uncommon for shedding to happen after a period of high stress. Now, what that looks like, though, is different for everybody, right? Because stress, well, what is that? Stress could be surgery or an operation. It's very common to shed hair after having surgery. It could be after a recent illness, especially fever. Very common to experience hair loss several months after having a virus or an illness where you've had a fever spike. And childbirth is the other one that's very common, widely accepted. Yes, you lose hair after, usually throughout the duration of the pregnancy, there's no hair loss. Hair is fabulous when you're pregnant. And then comes the dreaded slippery slope out the other side. And it's got to do, how soon you lose hair, I think, has to do with several things. Breastfeeding, not breastfeeding, what your hormones are doing, what they were like before you were pregnant. Like, there's lots of factors there. But I think those three things that we can absolutely accept. Yes, it's very common to experience hair loss. And, well, there's not a lot of advice given at that point, is it? Other than it's very normal. Just enjoy the ride. But obviously I'm here to give you some more solutions than that today. It's also really common to see hair loss when we see thyroid issues, autoimmune issues, malnutrition. I don't think that's shocking to anybody, but we do see hair loss, especially with people who have eating disorders. You can start to experience shedding and hair loss. Again, it's stressful. So whenever the body, that stress response is triggered, it triggers the body into a shedding pattern. It could also be genetics and hereditary factors. We see this in female pattern hair loss or balding. Hormones are a big factor when we see elevated testosterone levels, especially in women with PCOS. We can see hair loss, especially on the top of the head, and also stress, which we've already sort of mentioned, but that would be more so something like a loss of a job or a loss of a loved one or some dramatic event that's happened that has been very stressful and, again, triggered your body into a pattern of hair loss. And I think the hard part is there's a couple of things we have to figure out here. First, we have to figure out, okay, why am I losing hair? Which one of these things or which one of these patterns is me? And then how is it presenting for us? So I mentioned shedding, and I've said shedding 1,000 times, and that's, well, not 1,000 times, but many times. That's when hair's just falling out, right? And it's this sort of, it's not a bald patch, it's not an area, but then extending to that, you could lose hair in patches, and you might find that you have a bald patch. And in clinic, I would look at the area where you are balding to have a look at the corresponding meridian or channel to then treat that pattern. But you're not all in, you know, you're not all trained up in Chinese medicine, and that's not going to make sense to everyone. Just know that if there's a bald patch, it's telling you something. We can see change of hair, thinning or hair being finer. And as we get older, that's something that can definitely happen in the changes of hormones. It doesn't mean it has to happen. It means it could happen. The other thing we see is breakage, where hair actually is damaged and breaks. We might also see slow regrowth. And we can just also, the other one that I haven't mentioned actually is graying hair, dull, lifeless or graying hair. Yes, you can slow down your graying hair. In some instances, you can reverse it. And I've personally been through that journey. I'm here to tell you, you can do that, which is exciting, right? But we have to look at what is the root cause to be able to treat it properly. And it isn't just what you do on the outside. In fact, it's so much more than that. It's what you do on the inside. Equally, what are you doing on the outside to help to support healthy hair? In Chinese medicine, we say hair is an extension of the blood. So having adequate blood supply, which would correlate to things like iron and other vitamins and minerals and nutrients, can have a flow-on effect. So really making sure that you are looking at this from all angles becomes very important. The other thing that is important to understand is that you can have crossover patterns. You could have high stress and thyroid. You must always consider the root cause first. So in this instance, there's high stress triggering the thyroid. I would treat the thyroid. Obviously, the stress needs to be addressed, but the stress has been the trigger for this to happen. So understanding, yes, okay, what I topically put on my hair, how I look after my hair absolutely counts, but I would say it's so much more than that, and it's so much of these internal patterns that we need to look at to be able to make some long-term changes to benefit. But just to understand the phases of hair loss, we have typically, in a normal scenario, we have the anagen phase. That's the growing phase, and that's usually around 3 to 5 years. So this pattern is a cyclic pattern. We're all going through this each and every day, each and every year, or month and year, and it's around 3 to 5 years of just continual growing in a perfect world where we're in this anagen phase of growing hair. Then we enter a transition phase. That's called the catagen phase. And it's where it's not growing, it's not shedding, it's just transitioning. And this phase is usually days long. It's usually, often we shed our hair actually in the autumn months. And this, again, we're a product of our environment. But you might notice, I often notice February, March, my hair falls out a little bit more than usual. And it's not that I'm in a shedding phase, it's just the normal process of hair loss. Now, then we move into the telogen phase, which is a resting phase. And again, this is only days. We're only in this for a few days before we move into the exogen phase, which is the shedding phase. And it's the shedding phase that we experience, obviously, hair loss, which really shouldn't last for very long. This is part of a normal cycle of hair loss. However, as I mentioned, stress can trigger all of this to be sped up, and it can trigger us to go into a state of shedding. Not shredding, shedding. It can trigger us to go into a shedding phase. It wouldn't be nice if we were all shredded. So it is very important to understand the different patterns, the reason that you might be losing hair, and then also what phase you might be in, and or just to know the phases. And I think also someone would say, okay, at what point, Nat, would I do something about my shedding? Now, if there has not been any of those factors, if you're perfectly healthy, there's no problems, it's normal to go through a phase of shedding, and it shouldn't last more than a few weeks. When it starts to last longer than, I would say, 3 weeks, I would start to do something about it. And if you've been shedding for longer than that, then absolutely it's time to do something about it. But I want to give you some foundational things that you can do, and then obviously allow you to think a little bit more deeply around what your patterns might be and how you might want to actually explore. If any of those things stood out for you, you could go and definitely explore more about how you could speak to that presentation, whether it's thyroid, whether it's hereditary. Just because it's hereditary doesn't mean you can't slow it down or sort it out. Okay, so here's some things I found to be really beneficial to help with shedding and hair loss. No matter what hair type you are, no matter what pattern you are, no matter which, these are the things that you need to do to support healthy hair growth. You must start to eat breakfast. Now, I've gone on the record. I 100% love intermittent fasting. I really, really do. I still love it. However, when the body is in a state of stress, I think we need to be able to bring in as many things as we can to put it into a state of recovery. If you are triggered and you are shedding, you can't shed and repair at the same time. Those things can't happen together. So we need to put the body into a state of recovery so that then it can start to repair itself. And the repair is new hair growth. So breakfast is very, very important. And I'm not talking Cheerios. I'm talking a breakfast that includes fat and protein. Your hormones are made of fat and protein. Very important. You must prioritize protein and fat at every meal. So what would that look like? If you've been following along at home, you might see that sometimes I eat chicken and berries for breakfast. It's not some weird thing. There's fat, there's protein, and there's the berries offer a lot of fiber and other support in terms of antioxidants and other vitamins and minerals that help with repair. So my go-to breakfast would actually be that. But it's important to understand if there's any foods that you trigger triggering you that keep you in a state of stress and flaring, then it's important to keep these on the lower consumption list. For some people, that could be gluten. We already know sugar's not great for any of us. It might be specific foods that you know that you can't have. Almonds, eggs, tomatoes, onions, all very common. For me, it's broccoli. So it's just figuring that out. And it doesn't mean I can't ever have broccoli again. It means as it stands right now, it's a no-go because it flares me. And when I get my body back into a state where it's not flared and it's in that repairing state or it's repaired, then I can start to slowly introduce these foods. So we must have breakfast. We must include fat and protein at every meal. The other thing we want to do is have our fiber first. We've spoken about this so many times. So what that might look like for me is actually eating the berries first before I eat my chicken. Or it might be having an apple or a carrot or a handful of popcorn. Or it might be eating my greens first or a green salad. But this helps to regulate your blood sugar. And what that's going to inadvertently do is it's going to decrease inflammation, which can be such a trigger for a lot of that's, which is another stress, obviously, but it definitely is part of the puzzle when we are trying to bring down stress levels. So fiber first. Fiber is also a prebiotic. It helps the good gut bacteria to grow, which we want for so many reasons. And it also acts as a binder, which means that anything that we need to get out of our gut that shouldn't be there can bind to it and be taken out in the trash, through the bowels, and sent off to wherever that goes when you flush the toilet. So fiber first. If you are suffering from a known hormone imbalance, specifically PCOS, I would also reduce dairy at this point in time. Dairy is quite problematic for women with PCOS. So reducing dairy is a recommendation. And then, of course, wherever you can, the other thing I would say when we're looking at these standard nutrition pointers is support the gut where possible with nutrient-dense, easily digested foods. So eat the rainbow at this point in time. You've got your fat, you've got your protein, then eat the rainbow. As long as it doesn't trigger you, go for gold. You really can't eat, you really can't consume too much in terms of vegetables and some fruits. You've got to be mindful with fruits because often they're high in sugar. But having said that, they're also a great fiber source. So just be very mindful. And I would say, yes, don't exclude them, but don't overdo it either. They can be a little bit problematic. Now, I'm going to give you some healthy hair nutrients as well. And we've shared a lot about this over recent months. I think the best source of nutrients is food. We love supplements. And if I was to say, all right, what supplements do we need for healthy hair? I'm going to give you the list. But please go and find the food sources of these things first and foremost. I had a patient the other week and she said to me, can you just not give me the supplement? I'm like, I can, but you've got to eat. Make it count. I do think we're going to see, I'm going to put this on the record, I do think we're going to see a shift in the way we're using supplements. Don't get me wrong, I use supplements in the clinic as well, but I think we're going to see a shift, and we are seeing a shift back to food sources as supplements. For example, beef liver capsules. They're literally beef liver in capsules. So I think we're going to see shifts around this because it is far more readily absorbed, far more readily available, and the body will use it very quickly. And we're often finding, especially with synthetic supplements, that they just don't, they don't cut the mustard. So vitamins for hair health: vitamin D, vitamin B, vitamin E, vitamin A, zinc, iron, copper, selenium, magnesium. But these are all foods, guys. Like, for example, vitamin E, oily fish, eggs, vitamin B, beef liver, same as vitamin A, beef liver, same as iron, beef liver. Like, let's tick some boxes. Vitamin E, a lot of your sunflower seeds, nuts contain vitamin E, hazelnuts. What else can we think about? Zinc. Think about things like shellfish, oysters, beans, iron we've sort of touched on. Copper, again, beef liver. I mean, beef liver is like, if you're not having beef liver capsules yet, guys, it's time. Truly, it's time. Selenium, Brazil nuts. I say to patients, just eat a couple of Brazil nuts a day, especially if you've got thyroid challenges. And magnesium, which has to be my favourite thing on the planet. Did you know that chia seeds are high in magnesium? There you go. So there's some things that you can start to add. And then, of course, the other thing I will add is hair oil has been, and I've been talking about this a lot, hair oil has been, I would say, a huge game changer for me in helping to restore and replenish my hair. And it's something that I do once a week, once a fortnight. I will apply 15 minutes before I wash my hair and then obviously wash my hair. I want to add one more thing before I go. If you are shedding, here's something else that I did. I had a bit of a routine when it was time to wash my hair, and I think this is really important. I would start off with a wide tooth comb and just really gently brush through my hair whilst it was dry. If I was putting the hair oil in, actually, I would do that first and then I would very gently brush it through. But I don't always use the hair oil every wash. So let's say I whether you choose to do that or not, park that step. I would brush it very gently with the wide tooth comb. I would then do my normal regime of shampooing and conditioning, except do not try and run your hands through hair that is wet when you're shedding, because you will be very, very upset with what comes out. It's very stressful at that point. I also would wait until the conditioner was at least in, if I was going to even loosen it at all. But then I found that if I actually ran the conditioner through, rinsed it out, got out of the shower, wrapped it up in a hair towel and let it dry a little bit, and then ran the products through that I would use, you know, in terms of a split end mender and a protectant. Oh my goodness, everyone should be using a protectant in their hair as well. And then run my hands through and then run the comb through. There would be far less hair loss. Be really careful of pulling on wet hair when you're shedding, is what I would say. Okay. I think we've got some good tips here today, guys. So first, just to recap, work out what your pattern is. Why are you losing hair in the first place? And then secondly, we can start to explore what that means for us on a deeper level. We didn't dive into that today. That's something that I think definitely need to go down the rabbit hole individually. And then we need to just, we recapped on the phases of hair loss. We looked at common hair challenges, and then some things that you can start to add in immediately to help to support your healthy hair growth. Cool. I'm so glad that we got to record this. I've been wanting to record it for ages and just hadn't got around to it. If this has been useful, please go ahead. Let me know. I'd love to hear in the review section on wherever you are listening to this. And of course, share this one around. If you know someone that's losing their hair, it's a really stressful situation. It really is. I think it's part of your identity. It's part of who you are. And actually, my very, very first case as a practitioner was alopecia. And I will never forget it to this day. And seeing a woman walk around with hair after treating her was just so rewarding. Couldn't have actually been a more rewarding first case. Anyway, that's it from me today. I do hope that you've enjoyed this episode. Until next time, I hope that you are feeling happier, healthier, and better. Bye for now.